please turn to the book of Joshua chapter 15. The book of Joshua chapter number 15. As you know, I've got three series going on at one time in our church. I'm not preaching just on one, you know, all the way through. I'm kind of just alternating it. And now we come back to our series in Joshua chapter 15. And we begin our reading in verse 16. Joshua 15, verse number 16. You can turn me down just a little bit, if you don't mind. That's for all you folks' benefit. Amen. Joshua 15, verse 16. And Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher, and taketh it to him, will I give Aksah my daughter to wife." And Othniel the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksah his daughter to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, "What wouldest thou?" Who answered, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland, give me also springs of water." And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. I want to begin a message tonight that I will not get finished, because it's not finished. Half of it's still in my office, amen. But it's entitled, "The Father-Daughter Relationship." The father-daughter relationship. Let's pray together, and I want to share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you tonight, and I pray that you'll help me to preach with power. I pray that you help me to preach with clarity. And no doubt this is the message for this hour, and I pray, God, that you help me to preach it according to your will and way. I confess before you, I cannot do this on my own. I need you to help me. I pray that you'll encourage us where we need to be encouraged. Encourage, convict us where we need to be convicted, change us where we need to be changed. If anybody's under the sound of my voice that's come to church but never come to Christ, may tonight be the glorious night when they say yes to you, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. In Joshua chapters 15 through 19, these chapters consist largely of a list of places allotted under Israel's tribes. And while it may be hard to recognize just why the Lord has included this in His Word, we know nothing is recorded in Scripture without divine design. And in chapter 15, we see something brought out for our attention. As a matter of fact, we see a relationship put on display for us to consider. It's the relationship between Caleb and his daughter, Aksah. Now, the father-daughter relationship is such a blessing of God Almighty. And let me say this to you, a father and a child, whether it be a daughter or a son, but for this text here, it just happens to be a daughter. But let me say something to you, a child is a blessing from God Almighty. And let me tell you something, abortion is wicked, amen. I don't care who says it or what says it, abortion is murder, you can take it to the bank, because God Almighty tells us in His Word that He puts us together in our mother's womb. Somebody say amen. I'm talking about abortion is wrong. But I'm telling you tonight that the father-daughter relationship is such a mighty, exalted blessing of God Almighty. And let me say this to you up front, that this message is for everybody. Obviously, it's for fathers with daughters. Obviously, it's for children with fathers. But also, I'm going to show you and stress to you that Caleb as the father is a picture of our Heavenly Father and what He's done for us. And therefore, let's look at this God-given, God-blessed relationship and glean what the Lord wants us to see. Now, in order to do this, we're going to separate the two. We're going to look at Caleb the father, and then at a later time, we're going to look at Aksah the daughter. Now, I'm going to apply it to our physical relationship, but most importantly, I'm going to apply it to our spiritual relationship. Number one, the first thing we want to notice tonight is we want to look at the father named Caleb. Now, within these verses of Scripture, specifically verses 13 through 19, we see how a father named Caleb acted on and in behalf of his daughter, Aksah, that every father can learn from. Let me ask you a question. How many of you all are fathers? Would you raise your hand? You're fathers. Yes, I realize some of you here tonight are not fathers. Some of you are praying about it, whatever the case may be. But let me tell you something. If you are a dad, pay close attention, because Caleb is a man that all of us who are fathers, we can mimic. Because these same four things he did for his daughter are the same four things that we ought to. Let me give you four things that Caleb, as the father, did. Number one, the first thing we notice about the father Caleb is he proved his daughter's husband. Boy, I like that right there. We see this in verse number 16. Look at it. The Bible says, "And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah my daughter to wife." Now notice in this verse how Caleb, now listen to me, back in this day, it was just tradition that the man, the husband, the father, would choose his wife's husband. Now it's no longer that way. And all the girls said amen, right? But pretty much what I'm saying to you tonight is that here is Caleb. He has his God-given duty. He has his God-given obligation. But we see in this verse right here that Caleb put his daughter's future husband to the test. He must smite Kirjath Sefer first. Now, what in the world's that? You know what Kirjath Sefer was? It was the fortress of the Anakims. It was the fortress of the giants. And Caleb said, nobody's going to get my daughter until he first proves himself. He must take Kirjath Sefer first. He must destroy it first. And to that man is who I'm going to give my daughter. In other words, Caleb was not going to turn his daughter over to just anybody. He personally proved Othniel. And it's time we realize what a gift we have in our baby girls. And we should not entrust them just to anybody's hands. Amen. Amen. There are so many fathers today who are not protecting their little girls in this way, but they allow them to date anybody that comes down the court. They allow them to date everybody that comes down the court. And it's time our fathers, and I'm talking to me tonight, that we protect our little girls from the predators and the punks who are out to take them and take them down. Now, let me say this right here. Fathers, you cannot make your daughter's final decision. You can't do that, but you can be involved. You can be involved. You need to make sure as a man of God that whoever she has an inclination to date and especially to marry, you better put him to test. You better make sure he's of God. And let me say this to you. If he's not, I'd voice my opinion. Somebody says, I'm afraid I'm going to lose her. What if she marries that guy? You've lost her anyway. And all I'm saying to you, the first major point we can learn from Caleb the father is he proved his daughter's husband. He was not going to turn her over just to anybody. My, I'm getting riled up right there because I've got a little baby girl now. She's getting ready to turn a year old this month. Can you believe that? I mean, honestly, I'm getting old. And I'm going to tell you something. I can't make her final decision, but I guarantee you, Daddy, if he's alive, is going to be involved. Amen. Anybody wants to come date my girl, they're going to have to come through me first. That's old-fashioned. That's exactly what I am. I'm old-fashioned. And it's time that daddies do the same. We have got to protect our girls. Amen. Protect your baby girl. Don't just turn her over to anybody. Don't turn her over to everybody. You make sure God's in it. And you encourage her. And you strengthen her. And all I'm saying to you, that's missing today. Daddies are just turning their girls loose. They can do whatever they want to do. They can go wherever they want to go. They can date whoever they want to date. And that is not of God. That's not of God, folks. Now, I'm not saying that you can rule them and govern them and choose their mate and say, you know, listen, I'm just going to choose your mate when you're 11 months old. Jalen, you're going to marry this guy here. I'm not going to do that. I don't think God's in that either. But the fact is, I can be involved. I can try to look after her. I can try to protect her as her daddy. I can be involved and prove her future husband. I can do that. And that's what we need to do. But remember, I told you, I'm going to apply it to our physical relationship. Daddy, I'm talking to you. But I told you also, I'm going to apply it to our spiritual relationship. Do you know God does the same thing for his children? As our father, just like Caleb was looking out for his daughter, our heavenly father watches out for us. He does not turn us loose to do our own thing. He doesn't turn us loose, and all I'm saying to you is he doesn't turn us over to anything or anybody just coming down the pike. He watches out for us. Aren't you glad God's watching out for you tonight?
just like Caleb, as Aksel's daddy, was looking out for her and trying to protect her by proving her future husband, God watches out for us as our Heavenly Father, and He takes care of us. Psalm 4:8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. The Bible says in Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. I'm glad just like Caleb obviously cared for his daughter Aksel, our Heavenly Father cares for us. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. It's time fathers protect their little girls. And our Heavenly Father has set the example by protecting us. And that's the first thing we learn from Caleb as the daddy. The father, we're looking at him tonight. Not going to get any further than that. But we're looking at the father, Caleb, number one, proved his daughter's future husband. Now we learn from that we in our physical being, we should look out for our girls. And try to protect our girls and not let them just marry anybody and everybody. Secondly, we learn under that our Heavenly Father is looking out for us and He's protecting us. Number two, second thing we noticed here about Caleb is found in verses 16 and 17, and that is he performed his own word. He proved his daughter's future husband, but he performed his own word. What's that mean? That means he was a man of his word. That means whatever he said, he did. He told the truth. He didn't lie. You say, prove it. Thank you for asking me. Look at verse 16. Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksel my daughter to wife. And Othniel, by the way, who was a judge later on, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. And he, Caleb, gave him Aksel, his daughter, to wife. Now what happened? Caleb did exactly what he said. That's what happened. The point I want to make here is Caleb was a daddy who kept his word. He was a man of his word. You could count on his word. What he told you, you could trust. And God give us men, specifically fathers, just like that today. We need to be daddies who tell the truth. Daddies of our word. You know, one of the worst things that I'm sure I've been guilty of, and I'm sure that maybe all men have been guilty of, I'm talking about if you're a daddy, have you ever lied to your children? I'll tell you one thing, you touch that one more time, you know what's going to happen. And they touch it and they look at you. You touch it one more time and listen, it's going to be too bad on you. They touch it again, look at you. You say you speak like you're talking from experience. I probably am, I don't know. You know what you're telling when you say, you touch that one more time, there's going to be consequences. And then you don't do it, you just lied. You lied. And that is teaching a child something that they don't need to learn, and that is, I can't trust my daddy. Amen. We need to be men and women. Let me just put that in there, men and women of our word. He promised Aksel to the one who took Kirjath Sefer, and that's exactly what he did. I wonder, daddy, are you a man of your word? As a matter of fact, whoever you are, man, woman, boy, girl, daddy, mother, grandma, granddaddy, are you a person of your word? Do you keep your word? You know, lying seems to be a way of life for people. And this one book that did a survey said that 91% of those surveyed lie routinely about matters that they consider trivial. 36% lie about important matters. 86% lie regularly to parents. Surely none of our teenagers lie to your mom and daddy. Surely not. 75% to friends, 73% to siblings, and 69% to spouses. It's eating our American family alive. Lies. Untruths. Professional golfer. Of course, I wouldn't know anything about it, but he was getting ready to tap in a routine 9-inch putt. But when he was getting ready to do it, he must have just barely tapped it, and he saw the ball move ever so slightly. But obviously, he wasn't sure, I guess, if anybody else saw it. But according to the rule book, if the ball moves in this way, the golfer must take a penalty stroke. Yet consider the situation. This man just wasn't playing for fun. He was playing in a tournament with a top prize of $108,000. You stay with me here. To acknowledge that the ball had moved could mean he could lose his chance for big money. A man put it this way. He said, here's what might have been done. He said, you know, the athlete ducks his head and flails wildly with his hands as if he's being attacked by a killer bee at that time or something, you know. Or he starts rubbing his eye with a phantom speck of dust, all this kind of stuff. All the while scanning his playing partners in the gallery for any sign that the ball's movement might have been detected. But not this man. This man, he didn't do that. He assessed himself a penalty stroke and wound up with a bogey on the hole. Did it cost him the tournament? I don't know. But it didn't cost him his integrity. Amen. You say, I'd do the same thing, would you? Would you? You really don't know until you're put in that situation, do you? Are you a man of your word? You're a woman of your word. You know what Caleb teaches us? Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Psalm 51:6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Proverbs 3:3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bound them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Proverbs 8:7, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. His name was Booker T. Washington. He describes a meeting with an ex-slave from Virginia in his book, Up From Slavery. Here's what he said. He said, I found that this man had made a contract with his master 2 or 3 years previous to the Emancipation Proclamation. In other words, to the effect that the slave was permitted to buy himself by paying so much per year for his body. In other words, he knows this slave. This slave has come, and I'm talking about Booker T. Washington, knows him personally, whatever the case may be. And he realizes that this man, 2 or 3 years before the Emancipation Proclamation, this slave is given the opportunity to buy himself by paying his master so much per year. Okay? Now, when they were doing this, he was permitted, while he was paying for himself, to labor where and for whoever he wanted to. Finding that he could secure better wages in Ohio, he went there. When freedom came, he was still in debt to his master some $300 back in Virginia. Notwithstanding that the Emancipation Proclamation freed him from any obligation to his master. But the slave walked the greater portion of the distance back to where his old master lived in Virginia and placed the last dollar with interest in his hands. And in talking to Mr. Washington, he's speaking here, he said, the man told me that he did not have to pay his debt, but that he had given his word to his master, and his word he had never broken, and he felt he could not enjoy his freedom till he had fulfilled his promise. Hallelujah. Strike right into the heart. Proverbs 12:17-19, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Zechariah 8:16-17, speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor, and love no false oath. God help us to be people of our word. Especially if we're a daddy. See, because John 8:44 says there's no truth in him, speaking of the devil. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. See, when we lie, we're showing the characteristic of the devil in our life. God help us to be men and ladies of our word. Remember, I told you I'm going to apply everything to our spiritual relationship. Obviously, I've already applied it to the physical, but now let me apply it to the spiritual. Let me pause and say, just like Caleb was a man of his word, even so our Heavenly Father is all truth and will keep his word forever. Psalm 100 verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. John 1:14-17, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Titus 1:2, God that cannot lie. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let me ask you a question. If we can't trust our Father's word, why are we here tonight? Amen. If he is a liar, why are we here? If he told one lie, how in the world do you know you're going to heaven when you die? If he lies, There's no way that we could have faith and peace in a God who lies. But thank God he does not lie. I mean, what he says, he will do. Amen. And if it's in that book, take it to the bank. It will be done just like he said. Amen. Number one, we learn from the father Caleb that he proved his daughter's future husband. We learn in that two things. We're applying all these points in two ways. Number one, that a daddy should be involved in his girl's life and not turn her over to just anybody and everybody. Secondly, we learn that God watches out for us. Number two, we see that Caleb performed his own word. And we see that we as daddies should be men of our word. Whatever we say, we ought to do it. And by the way, that applies to everybody. Young people, older people, I'm talking about men, women, mothers, fathers. And secondly, under that, we applied it to God always tells the truth. Aren't you glad he always tells the truth? Good night. Where would we be if God lied? Thank God he doesn't lie. Amen. Let me give you a third thing about him found in verse number 18. And that is, he presented his time to Aksel. He proved her husband. He performed his word. And he presented his time to Aksel. Now, what's that mean? Look at verse 18. And it came to pass as she came unto him that she moved him to ask of her father a field. She lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wouldest thou? Who answered, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land, give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Now, notice here when Aksel came to her daddy that Caleb took the time to be with her. He took the time to be with her. There's no hint that he was too busy. Now, I'm getting ready to lower the boom on myself. I'll be honest with you. I was preaching through this message to myself in Brother Gary's classroom, and God broke me, and I began to weep over there right here at this point. You know what Caleb did? He gave his time to his girl. He wasn't too busy for her. There's no hint that it bothered him that his daughter had come to see him. You know, in a world where many things seemingly demand the father's time and attention, We as dads and moms must be aware of the danger of neglecting our children. We must consciously take and make time for our kids. Amen. Now, I'm getting ready to apply this in just a moment. Matter of fact, I'm going to do it right now. There's a daddy who asked his daughter one time, her name was Jennifer. He said, honey, he want to know what were the biggest problems that father have with kids. Here's what the daughter said. She said, dads have too many tomorrows. You know, I'll play with you tomorrow. I'll talk with you tomorrow. The man says she was right. Dad, I'm convicted. Be there now for your children. Building quality and quantity benchmarks of trust. Don't wait until tomorrow. Because if you wait until tomorrow, you end up wasting too many todays. No doubt about it. There's a man telling a story. He said he was sitting in his favorite chair, studying for the final stages of his doctorate degree. And when Sarah announced herself, Sarah was his five-year-old baby girl. And she came into the room. She said, Daddy, do you want to see my family picture? The man replied and said, Sarah, Daddy's busy. Come back in a little while, honey. Good move, right? He said, I was busy and a week's worth of work squeezed into a weekend. He said, you know, we've been there. 10 minutes later, she swept back into the living room and said, Daddy, let me show you my picture. He said, the heat went up under my collar. And I said, Sarah, I said, come back later. This is important. 3 minutes later, she stormed into the living room. She's only 5 years old. He said she got 3 inches from my nose and barked with all the power a five-year-old girl could say, Do you want to see my picture or don't you? And he said, No, I don't. And with that, she zoomed out of the room and left me alone, he said. Somehow being alone at that moment wasn't as satisfying as I thought it would be. I'm reading his own words here. He said, I felt like a jerk. I went to the front door and I said, Sarah, could you come back inside a minute, please? Daddy'd like to see your picture. She obliged him and come right in, you know. It was a great picture. She had even given her picture a title across the top. It said, Our Family Best. He said, Tell me about it. She said, well, Daddy, here's Mommy. She was a stick figure, you know, with long, yellow, curly hair. And here's me standing beside Mommy with a smiley face. Here's our dog, Katie. And here's Missy, my little sister. He said it was a pretty good insight into how she saw her family. He said, I looked at her and said, you know, I love your picture, honey. I'll hang it on the dining room wall, and each night when I come home from work and from class, which is around 10 p.m., I'll go to look at it. She took me at my word and beamed ear to ear and went outside to play. And he said, I went back to my books. But he said, I just kept reading the same paragraph over and over because he said something was bothering me. I was uneasy. He said something was missing from her picture. He said, I went to the front door and I said, Sarah, could you come back in here a minute, please? She said, I want to look at your picture again. He said, she crawled back in and came up on my lap. He said, I could close my eyes right now and see the way she looked. Cheeks rosy with playing outside, pigtails, strawberry shortcake, tennis shoes, and a cabbage patch doll named Nellie tucked limply under her arm. He said, I asked my little girl a question, but I wasn't sure I wanted to hear the answer. He said, honey, there's Mommy, and there's Sarah, and there's Missy. There's Sarah, there's Missy, and Katie the dog is in the picture, and the sun, and the house, and the squirrels, and the birds. But, Sarah, where's your daddy? She said, oh, Daddy, she said, you're at the library. I'm cut right there. We get so busy that every now and then we neglect our own kids. God help us all. A young man was sentenced to the penitentiary. The judge had known him from his childhood, and he was well acquainted with his daddy. His daddy was a famous legal scholar and the author of an exhaustive study entitled The Law of Trust. As the judge looked at this young man, he knew his daddy. He was getting ready to be sentenced to jail. He said, do you remember your father? He said, I remember him well, Your Honor. Then trying to probe the offender's conscience, the judge asked, as you're about to be sentenced and you think of your wonderful dad, what do you remember most clearly about him? There was a pause. Then the judge received an answer he had not expected. He said, I remember when I went to him for advice. He looked up at me from the book he was writing and said, run along, boy, I'm too busy. When I went to him for companionship, he turned me away saying, run along, son, this book must be finished. Your Honor, you remember him as a great lawyer. I remember him as a lost friend. The judge muttered to himself, alas, finished the book, but lost the boy. Let me ask you a question, men. Spiritually speaking, you writing a book? You just have to get it done. You just have to finish it. Little boy, little girl runs in and said, Daddy, will you throw ball with me? Will you play something with me? No. I'm busy. I've been guilty of that. God help our daddies to see the precious gift that God has given us. Amen. Caleb was a daddy who took time to be with his girl. Are you too busy, man? By the way, there may come a day that you wish that you could have them run into the living room one more time and climb up on your lap one more time. Can I get an amen there from somebody who knows what I'm talking about? We're not going to have them forever. We better spend time with them. Now, I think I've applied that, I hope, in an effective way to our physical relationship. Let me apply it to our spiritual relationship. Let me pause and say here that just like Caleb was not too busy for his daughter and spent time with her, amen. Our Heavenly Father desires for us to spend time with Him. Amen. He's never too busy for us. Aren't you glad He's never too busy for you? Where in the world would we be if our Heavenly Father was too busy for us? The Bible says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Our Heavenly Father loves to spend time with us. He's never too busy for us. He's always there for us. What a blessing. He's running the universe. And He's not too busy for me.
Hey, man, I'm just too busy. I gotta watch this TV program.
God help us. May the Lord help us. By the way, just like He stopped for those while He was on earth, remember those He stopped for? Remember the lady coming with the issue of blood? And He was thronged. He was on His way with this man who had his only daughter who was dying. Remember the story? And the Bible says He was thronged, and there was one little lady who spent all of her living, and she came and she touched the hem of His garment, and the Bible says He stopped. And He turned and said, "Who touched me?" You know what He was doing? He was saying, "I like that. Let me spend time with you just a minute." God takes time to spend with us. That's our Heavenly Father. By the way, it doesn't matter what time of the day or night. Hey, you get up at 3 o'clock, talk to Him. He's awake anyway. Amen. Amen. Remember the blind man calling? They said, "Oh, shut up, man. Be quiet. He don't have time for you." Next thing you know, He's calling for him. "Bring him to me." Remember Zacchaeus in a tree? Zacchaeus climbs up in a tree, looks down. He had no idea that when the Lord Jesus came that He was going to stop. The Lord stopped, looked up at him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. For today I must abide at thy house." I don't know, this is blessing my heart thinking about this. I'm serious. I'm talking about our Heavenly Father. I'm talking about how Caleb spent time with his girl. God wants to spend time with me. Are we taking advantage of it? That's number three. Then there's a number four. That is found in verses 18 and 19. And that is Caleb provided his daughter's needs. We see that because she came to him and said, "You've given me the south land, but give me also springs of water." Verse 19. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Now we see Aksel coming to her daddy asking him for springs of water. Since the south land she had was probably dry and not watered, possibly due to the south wind coming from the deserts of Arabia. And when she asked her daddy for springs of water, we see Caleb meeting her request above and beyond what she asked. He gave her the upper and the lower springs. And by this, the south land would be well watered on both sides. Now, we as daddies should provide for our children. There's no doubt about that. Above and beyond what they need, especially when they humbly ask for it. Let me say this to you. There are some daddies who will not work. Now, I trust I'm not talking to anybody here tonight. Matter of fact, I hope I'm not. But you realize there are some daddies who will not work. You know that, right? You're not in the dark on that, are you? And you realize that there are some daddies who will take the money that they may earn, or whatever the case may be, or that the government gives them, whichever one the case may be, and they'll take that money. And instead of going out and meeting their family's needs, they'll go out and buy cigarettes, they'll go out and buy alcohol, they'll go out and buy all these other kind of things and let their children suffer. That's wicked. That's wicked. As a matter of fact, God says he's worse than an infidel. And all I'm saying to you, we obviously need to understand that we as the man, we as the daddy, we as the father, we are responsible to meet the needs of our family. God helping us, you understand. God, help us to be faithful in working and working and working and working and helping and allowing God to use us to meet the needs of our family. Why? Why is that so important? Because you picture Christ in the home. And I don't provide for Him. He provides for me. Amen? So we're to provide for our family. Let me pause here again, just about through, and say, just like Caleb provided for his daughter's request, our Heavenly Father provides for our needs and answers our prayers. We see this in Luke chapter 11. I want you to turn there with me just a moment. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse number 11. Luke chapter 11, verse number 11. Did Caleb answer his daughter's request? Yes. What did he give her? She said, "Give me springs." The Bible says he gave her the ones on top and the ones on the bottom. He met her need above and beyond. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 11.
If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, what's the point here? The point is, just like Caleb had his daughter come to him and said, "You've given me a southland, would you give me springs of water?" Caleb said, "Yes, I'll give you the upper and the nether springs." And God said, if you know how to answer your children's request and you go above and beyond, how much more do you think I want to do for you than you do for your kids? Now, isn't that a blessing to think about that? Really? In Luke chapter 12, you're right there in chapter 11. Look at chapter 12. I'm not going to read this for time's sake, but in verses 22 through 31, this is the same kind of picture here of not worrying. Like, look at verse number 22. "Therefore I say, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on." It's Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 31. The Bible says, "The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens." Look at verse 27. "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." It says in verse number 30, "For all these things are the nations of the world seek after. Your Father knoweth ye have need of these things. Rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." All I'm saying to you is just what Caleb did for his daughter, our Heavenly Father does for his children. Caleb proved his daughter's husband. He wasn't just going to turn her over to anybody. In the same way, daddies, we need to be involved in our daughters' lives and try to protect them just like God protects us. Number two, he performed his own word. He gave his word and he kept it in the same way we ought to be men and ladies and children of our word. And thank God, it's just like following our Heavenly Father's example. He's the God of his word. Number three, he presented his time to his daughter. And if you're a parent, specifically a daddy, but a parent, and you have children living at home. By the way, she wasn't at home any longer, and he still had time for her. And all I'm saying to you, isn't it obvious what the application is there? But on top of that, our ultimate example is God, who's never busy for us. He always wants to spend time with us. And number four, he provided her request. He provided her needs. And just like a daddy is held accountable to God for the upkeeping of his family, but our ultimate example is our Father, who provides our needs, who answers our request, and gives us more than we ask. I don't know if you've gotten a thing out of this tonight, but I'd have paid you to let me preach tonight. I needed this. Caleb, the father. We're looking at the father-daughter relationship. Tonight, we looked at the Father and how he pictures our Heavenly Father. Next week, God willing, we'll look at the daughter and how she pictures a child of God. May the Lord help us with it. Amen. Let's bow our heads together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our Father God, I pray that you'll help us to bring this message to a climactic close with the invitation. I pray, Lord, that you'll deal with us, that you'll manifest yourself to us. May thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly when they get ready there. Maybe there's somebody here tonight and you say, "Jody, I'm not even sure that I have God as my Heavenly Father. I always start here. Unless I just have a memory lapse, I never want to overlook anybody who may be here tonight but not sure that you're going to heaven when you die." Is it possible that there may be somebody sitting there right now and you're not sure that heaven is your home? If that's you, we're not going to come to your seat, not going to call you out. If you say, "Jody, that's me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure there's ever been a time in my life when I've asked Jesus to come into my heart and forgive my sins." If that's you, would you quickly and quietly raise your hand? Anybody at all like that? My eyes are surfing. I'm looking. Then let me ask you this. How many of you are say, "Jody, I'm a daddy. I was talking to the fathers first because that's how I applied the message first. You say, Jody, I'm a daddy. God is speaking to me. I'm talking about your physical relationship right now with your children. I'm talking about maybe you're just too busy, or maybe you've not been truthful with them, or maybe you've not been providing for them, or maybe you've just not been involved in your daughter's life the way you know God would have you be involved. Is there any daddies like that? Would you be honest? It takes a man to be honest. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air? Put your hand in the air. Yes. Thank you. Yes. 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 Thank you for being honest. Have you are a mother, and you say, Jody, I know it's the father-daughter relationship you're speaking of, but God's speaking to me. I'm a mother. God is speaking to me. If that's you, would you raise your hand if you're a mother? Yes, yes, yes. In just a moment, we're going to have you to come. And maybe some of you dads would like to grab your whole family, or grab your children, grab your teenager, and come to the altar and pray. Have you say, Jody, you may be a dad, a mom, or you may not be a dad or mom, or you might be a teenager, or whatever the case may be. But you say, Jody, God's speaking to me, not necessarily about the physical aspect of this message, but the spiritual aspect of it. And God is showing me more about Himself and how He protects me, just like Caleb, and how He provides for me, and how He wants to spend time with me, and how He keeps His word. You say, Jody, I needed that. This was an encouragement, whatever the case may be. You be honest. Would you raise your hand all over the auditorium? You say, this is what I need. Yes. Good. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you, I'm going to pray, but if God is speaking to you, I want to ask you to leave your place and come. Our Father God, take it and use it. Thank you for what you do in our lives as our children. Help daddies and mamas to respond to the message, we pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place and come? As he sings, would you do that, please?
Have thine own way,
Daddy, Lord, won't you grab your child? Why don't you come? It'd be great to grab your children. Say, God, help me with this. Help me with this. Help me with this. Seal some things at the altar. May the Lord help us. Give us strong, strong, strong families. Strong families.
Have thine own way,
strong families.
Lord, have thine own way.
God, help us with it, no doubt about
it. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence.
Amen. People still coming. That's wonderful. If you're still standing, they're playing through. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. Let me tell you something. We serve a great God. We have a wonderful Father. Think about it. You know why Caleb was able to do what he did? Because God had all of him. Remember the message before this? He followed God wholly. And God helped him have this relationship with his daughter. Do you realize you cannot have the relationship with each other on a horizontal level if you don't have the right relationship, fellowship with God vertically first? Fellowship with God. And He helps you fellowship this way. We all need it. You know what's going to make our church even greater than it is? You know, Brother Grubb shared with me after the service this morning, he said this is one of the greatest churches in the state of Tennessee. I'll take it above that and say it's one of the greatest churches in the world. I believe that. But can it be better? Can it? Sure. Can we tell you where it starts? In your home. A strong church is not a strong church if it doesn't have strong families. I've got such a burden for the family. And I appreciate our preacher and the emphasis he puts on that so much. Amen. I can't wait to get to Axaw as the child. And what she did. And
how we ought to respond to our father. You teenagers, bring your steel-toed boots next week. You're going to need them. Amen. We all need it, right? You know I'm just playing with you. We all need it. Let's be dismissed in prayer, please. I'm going to ask, I hope he doesn't mind, I'm going to ask Brother Bobby Whitson if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and pray for us tonight, please.